Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We're broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. We have a great guest tonight. Angelica Whitecliffe is going to be on our show. And I met Angelica, I guess, at the Hawaii conference and some other conferences as well. And she's been out here to the ranch as well and spoke here. And everybody just loved her presentation. So rather than wasting too much more time, I'd like to bring Angelica on. Angelica, are you there?
Hi, James.
Hi. Great to have you on the show.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
How are things in beautiful Hawaii?
Well, right now I am enjoying the sun just streaming into my lanai, but I must say that my neighbor next door has just gotten onto the big riding lawnmower, so I was trying to find a sanctuary in the house, but
okay.
Hopefully he's just about done.
Yeah, we're sitting here in the dark right now, but I guess we're a little bit ahead of there. There's so many things I want to cover. The first thing I want to talk about is some of the activity that's hitting the press like crazy in Hawaii as far as the UFO activity there.
Oh, that's right. In Honolulu, it was just on some of the local stations where they took some film footage of a mothership right off of the shores. And we here 2 days ago had fleets of cloud ships just in the skies. We were counting 25, 30 at a clip. And this wasn't over the mountain or over any of the mountains, but it was just all throughout the sky. There were just these fleets. We had really unusual weather conditions here and, you know, problems with our computers and our electronic equipment and a lot of psychic activity going on.
Yeah, great. Yeah, last time we had tried to get you on the show, we had the same thing happen here. We had both telephone lines go down and the computers at the radio station. So it seems there is some pretty incredible electromagnetic, interference going on.
Well, yes. And, you know, just prior to the last time I was going to come on when there was all that interference, we had been getting some messages here, some telepathic communications about, you know, major shifts happening again in the collective consciousness. And it just, and then all of a sudden, whammo, which got hit with all this energy. It was just a good validation of the communications that we were receiving that a lot of activity is in the air.
You know, I heard that from a lot of people that February 2nd or something, a lot of people putting that on the email that there'd be another huge energy spike or energy shift. And, you know, somewhere around that time. And I think last November we had a massive one. It really shook people up quite a bit. Just, you know, the energies coming in.
Well, here in Hawaii, we've had this unusual phenomenon happen over the last week or so where the clarity that we can see out across the water in a way that in the years that I've been here, I've never seen this type of clarity before. And we're really starting to contemplate that this might be about the shift in consciousness. Like in a location, the people in an area, the collective consciousness begins to rise up to a point where you get this clarity, this visibility that permeates at all levels. And I think that's really exciting.
It does make sense that nature would reflect the consciousness of the area. They actually did a lot of experimentation, and they looked back in the history books as well. And when we had the, you know, World War One and Two, we had massive storms unlike anything we've ever seen before during those time periods. And now it seems like, hopefully we won't move into that area again. But nature definitely does seem to reflect the collective consciousness of the planet.
I couldn't agree more. I was down in Mexico working with some contactees down there in October, and one of these contactees, Hector Palacios, he's been having physical contact with benevolent human-looking ETs for 40 years, and they've been telling him all kinds of information about the Earth changes and about 2012, and he shared a lot of that information. And with the Earth changes, they very much, too, talk about the Earth being a conscious entity. And we have to just more and more become aware of the fact that she as an entity is absorbing all of these energies of our thought forms, of our emotions, that's interacting with her. And so when we're just sending a lot of negative stuff her way, she has to deal with that. And so when there are the volcanic eruptions, the great storms, and activity of that magnitude coming out, you know, they were confirming something that I already had known, that this is just the energy has to go somewhere, and it builds to a point before it has to come out. So all the more it makes it so important for us to pay attention to our emotions and our thought forms because it interacts with the Earth.
Exactly. Now, what did Hector have to say about, coming to 2012 and actually coming up? I've been getting a lot of messages, too. I'm sure you have, too, about the changes. I'm wondering what kind of messages that he's getting concerning the Earth changes on every level, not just spiritual, but, you know, the physical, the mental, emotional levels, whatever.
Well, he has some eloquent explanations. And first of all, he talks about that the Earth as an entity has made a decision that she is no longer going to hold the diversity of the dualistic energies that she has been holding for so long. In other words, the pain, the suffering, the dark energies that we have known from civilization to civilization, she's made a conscious choice that she's no longer going to support those kind of energies. And on other more advanced worlds, we know that there are civilizations that exist in harmony and peace, and pretty much the majority of the civilization holds that type of consciousness. So Hector was telling me that she, as a planet, has made this decision to evolve, just like we're now evolving in consciousness. But there came a point, and I think it was in 2002, where she had officially crossed that point of being in the fourth dimensional frequencies. And so it was all the more those people who are holding the old paradigms and the old thought forms with war and famine and those kind of ideas would create a dynamic of chaos against the patterns she was now holding more completely of harmony and peace. And so he talked about how humanity really has to, as a collective, come into alignment with higher values, peace, love, harmony, and then humanity will interact with the planet in a positive way so that these Earth changes could be even totally mitigated. That the Earth changes themselves are a reflection of the chaos between humanity's negative thought forms and emotions that are interacting with a planet who has evolved, who's no longer going to tolerate that.
Oh, I agree. It seems like we're moving from duality consciousness into unity consciousness, and there's already there. And like you're saying, we're getting the same information, basically, that you know, the days of tyranny are over. They're just walking through their death throes right now, and the frequencies of the planet itself will no longer tolerate, you know, that kind of nonsense. And when they do cross over, they're not going to be able to come back to the Earth because they won't be able to match the frequencies.
Yes, so, absolutely. And I think, James, it's so important, though, for the listeners to understand, though, the role that they can play. Because I have talked with people who say, well, you know, Gaia, the Earth has shifted her consciousness, so it's just going to pull up all the people. But the fact is that people have to take responsibility for their own actions and thoughts and emotions because she needs our help and support. You know, she's not going to do it alone. And again, as I said, that it's our own chaotic thoughts that really create that conflict with her energies and then start to cause, you know, the more chaotic earth changes that that we've felt in some regions of the planet already.
It does seem to, you know, it's all escalating. I mean, if the earthquake and volcanic activity has gone up 400%, and it's, you know, I've been watching, I get the reports, and it seems like every day I'm looking at them, and they're going up a little bit each time, the earthquakes around the world, and they're getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, they used to be, you know, a lot of three-pointers, and now they're mostly five-pointers, and now I'm looking at them, and they're almost, you know, a lot of six-pointers, and, you know, getting into sevens. And, you know, this major cycle we're going through, you know, it's very obvious with the solar cycle and everything else that we're definitely having to move to the next level, the higher frequency.
Yes, and I think that people on a very practical, grounded level need to know what they can do to contribute to that. Because I think some people think that, you know, you leave this to, you know, the vanguard crew and let them kind of forge the path. But in fact, everybody can contribute. And since, you know, with Mother Gaia, with Mother Earth, I mean, just going out and putting your hands in the soil and planting something and really having, you know, opening your heart to love what you've planted, to love what you're doing. Communing with the land, communing with the plants and the animals and the mineral kingdom. It's, you're feeding her then that energy, that empowering energy that everyone has so strong within themselves.
Mm-hmm. I like the vanguard crew. I know a lot of the vanguard crew is getting tired.
You know? That's right.
I had Brad Steiger on last week, and you know, he was telling me, he said, James, he said, you've got to let go of the planet. You can't carry this, you know. You know, and I said, you know, you're right. I've been carrying this for so long, and I said, but I feel good. It's at a point now where it's going to go where it needs to go, and you know, I'm going to continue to do my work, but I'm going to take this heavy weight off my shoulders and move to the next phase.
Well, I feel very excited about this phase that we're coming into because I am seeing support now in so many other fields of work besides exopolitics itself. I'm seeing all of these networks and bridges being formed. So whether it be in fields of, you know, science and technology or spirituality or just, you know, in different fields of activity, the people are rallying together and it's all starting to coalesce together. And just, I think the general public is starting to pay more attention to holding positive images instead of getting lost in these issues of Armageddon or, you know, that the end is near, that it's going to be bad. You know, we give through our volition, we give vocation to matter, to energy that forms matter. And so we just have to watch our thoughts and we can really help with those positive visions.
I think, yeah, I've always felt that the Earth has her program. She has her destiny, you know, which is to ascend to the next level and heal and cleanse herself. And, you know, we chose to incarnate during these times, so we're part of that process one way or the other. I don't know if we're going to be part of the, you know, help clean up the planet or be part of the cleanup, you know, ourselves. Depends on which choices you make. But, you know, I know there are a lot of people really dragging their feet, but I have noticed, like you said, there's a lot of support, not just within the scientific community, but also from the skies as well, because these ships are just showing up everywhere right now. It's amazing.
Well, I have to say, for the first time, I'm getting communications and even visions from our ET friends of like the ships landing and these beautiful beings, the long flowing blonde hair, often walking and starting to interact with the people.
Yeah, you had one of those up here. You had you actually got to see, I think it was Blitchy or one of the beings that we work with.
Yes, that's right. Well, I got to photograph her ship one night going across the sky, and before photographing that ship, she had a telepathic communication with me up on your beautiful mountain, Mount Adams there, and told me actually that something special was going to happen, and it did the next night.
Now, could you describe her as far as what she looked like to you?
Yeah, the vision I saw of her was a beautiful female with long flowing blonde hair and just blazing eyes. It's almost like the rest of her didn't even matter, even though she had a beautiful countenance.
Were they electric blue or?
They were just electric, yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my whole perspective was focused upon those eyes that held so much beauty, so much love and kindness and giving. People always ask me, well, you know, how can you feel safe with these communications? And I tell them, you know, you feel their love. There's just no way, there's no way around it. And if you don't feel that kind of beautiful, positive giving from them, then maybe you don't want to communicate with that being.
Exactly. I know where you're coming from, having the same, you know, similar experiences, and it's really something that you can't really do it justice explaining to somebody else who's in fear. And I just tell them, you know, the consciousness in which you seek is the consciousness in which you're going to connect. So if you're in fear and you're in victim mode and all these other things, and you start playing around with, you know, multidimensional realities, you could have some negative experiences. It's all according to your consciousness. And, you know, people need to learn how to stand in their own self-authority as well. And we can stand in our own self-authority and change the outcome if there is a negative one. Learn how to clear negative influences and, you know, walk in your own self-mastery, you might say.
Well, I've had telepathic conversations with Venusians and Palladians who expressed that in their civilizations, you know, doing something like watching a horror movie, like so many people like these violent movies, and they say we wouldn't even consider doing something like that and holding those type of images in our consciousness, because then once they're there, you know, there's that temptation that in some way you're going to start creating with them and playing with them more. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, it doesn't bother me. But, you know, when you desensitize yourself at that level, then, you know, you're just harming your own positive creative impulses.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were instead to focus your intentions or your attention on positive programs or influences that could inspire you, you could actually, you know, do so many things on the planet that would help others and help future, you know, your children and your children's children live in a better world.
Oh, I agree 100%. I'm kind of guilty of that one. I actually just went and saw that movie Pan, I guess, or whatever it's called, The Labyrinth with Pan in it, I can't say I recommend it because, I mean, it was so violent, and it was like 80% violence. I mean, just brutal stuff. People just blowing brains out, torturing, all this stuff, and maybe 10% Pan or the inner earth. And I walked out of there I wanted to walk out, but I was with some other people. And I said, God, I can't believe I was suckered into this one. And You know, and I had somebody call me and go, you got to go see this movie. It has a really good story to it. I walked in there and I just wanted to get out of there. I said, God, this is just so, such senseless murder, torturing, killing over and over again. I said, I don't get it. I don't even know. You know, and the people are with, too, you know, when we went home, everybody said the same thing. What was that about? You know, that wasn't anything that we thought we were going to see.
Well, you know, I think it is that people just have to get up and watch out in those instances.
Yeah.
It's when it feels like you're having sandpaper rubbed up against your eyes, you just walk out of it. And it, when enough people start doing that, instead of just sitting there and getting numbed out by the violence or the things that they're witnessing, then, you know, we'll be able to make more positive contributions.
Oh, I agree. I love Eckhart Tolle talked a lot about that. He talked about pain bodies, and he said that people, pain bodies actually pay to make these movies. He said the directors are pain bodies. He said the actors are acting out their pain bodies, and it's interesting what he was saying about this whole thing. He said that these movies speak to your pain body, your victim body, all that nonsense you're carrying. They speak to that and they support it and perpetuate it. And he said, when you stop feeding your pain body, you'll stop going to these kind of movies.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I think that's a good answer for a lot of people who say, well, how do I know I'm progressing? Well, okay, so you stop going to those violent movies. Okay, you know you're on the right track.
I always felt it'd be so awesome to do a movie with, you know, the beings like you and I have both seen, like the Pleiadians, like Legee, and have somebody somehow through special effects capture that look or that grace and that beauty, and there's no way you can do it energetically, I don't think, but, you know, cause that totally changes your life, but, you know, you come close to it and really understand who these beings are. You know, versus these bugs are coming to eat us, or you know, these alien bugs, or whatever you call it. You know, they just want us to die, and they want human telos. You know, that seems to be the program now.
Well, I think that people, at least from the people that I'm talking with and who are coming to the Institute and asking questions and such, more and more people are asking about the benevolent ETs,
mm-hmm.
and about, you know, our cosmic human family. And we've been talking about consciousness and positive thoughts. And the more that people say yes to positive interaction, where respectful interaction, and say yes to that relationship like we had back in the 1950s when we had all the space brother communications going on and the books being written by, you know, people like Adamski and Howard Menger. It was all positive and uplifting, mm-hmm. talking about, you know, enhancing our spiritual awareness and honoring our planet, you know, 60 years ago. That was going on, but I think we've come full circle now where enough people are aware to say yes to that kind of an opportunity, but this time we pull it in fully instead of just getting a taste of what it can be.
Yeah, they should have a new movie, you know, Leave It to Beaver Makes Contact or something. You know? Father Knows Best, you know, go out and talk to the aliens, don't shoot at them, you know, something like that.
I remember My Favorite Martian.
Exactly.
It's all good. It's friendly.
It's funny. You're always getting into trouble, it seemed like, but, just for being different. But,
yeah, that's right.
I think, you know, it's just so insane right now to, I've talked about this a lot, the insanity of going out and trying to shoot down a craft that is, you know, thousands, if not millions of years, some billions of years ahead of us in evolution and technology, and for us to be so arrogant to try to shoot these down and put together a Star Wars program and all these other things out there. I mean, it's like, you know, we're going after lions with pea shooters, and luckily they're friendly lions, you know. But it's just, in the interest of national security, it's the most lamest thing I've ever seen.
Absolutely, James. I couldn't agree more on that. I think that people really have to pay attention to these kind of topics of what's going on with our military and our government, but not get involved so that you get all angry and frustrated.
No.
Because that'll do nothing. But when you are informed and you know that this is happening, you within yourself have the power to say no. And to say that with all the force of your heart, you know, that no, I do not want this to happen. I do not want this to be my reality. And then you start creating in your mind, in your imagination, that positive, that beautiful, that peaceful paradise existence that you'd like to see manifest. And you put energy into that. But people have to say no inside their core to programs like this, the Star Wars program.
Mm-hmm. It just makes no sense. What are we spending trillions of dollars for when we still have homeless and hungry people here on the earth? And then on that level, it's just, you know, we need to be building some dikes and taking care of Katrina and things of that nature. But just on a practical level, it's money down a rat hole because it's not going to work. These beings are so advanced. They can come and go whenever they want. There's nothing we can do about it. And we are so behind, even with our back engineered stuff, there's nothing we can do about these beings. They're going to come and go whenever they want. Luckily, they're benevolent. And so, you know, to me, in the interest of national security, let's align with the benevolent ones. There's nothing we can do about it anyway. Let's make friends with them. And let's bring that technology down that'll restore the planet, you know, that can end disease. It's time. That's the real national security, is to have, you know, a healthy population and restore the environment.
Well, I think, James, that is just, those people are reflecting the old paradigm, the old mentality that has been on this planet for so long, and they are furiously fighting not to let go of what they know and are so comfortable with.
Oh, yeah.
On another tangent, though, I also think it is completely reflective of people who have lost touch with the natural world. And when I say the natural world, I mean, you know, Mother Nature out there. When we go out and we use our body and have a visceral experience of the wind in our face and, you know, the sun and just the beauty around us of nature, that's a spiritual soul experience, soul communicating through the body with what we feel around us. And I think in our technocratic society, especially in hubs like our military and our government, people are so surrounded by these mechanical creations and so enslaved by these creations that they have lost complete touch with this spiritual aspect of life. And it's almost like they become soulless. I mean, it sounds kind of harsh, but I really believe that you push it to the degree that you don't care anymore about the natural world and preserving the earth, then, you know, you have lost a part of your soul.
Oh, I agree 100%. It's unbelievable. I see what these people are capable of doing, and you know, they dehumanize you right away. As soon as you get into the military, they turn you into like a robot, basically. And, you know, you just take orders. You don't really think of consequences. And, you know, it's pretty sad, you know, what happens. And it just keeps going from there. And you look at just numbers and statistics and, you know, we're going to win at any cost. And, you know, people would just look at their own family and just say, you know what, this family that I have here right now is the same over there. It's also, those are the other children of God over there in that other country that we're doing, you know, wreaking havoc on. And, you know, the science of it too is like, you know, here's this military intelligence, you know, how intelligent is it not to understand the unified field, that everything is connected? I mean, this is science. If these guys are really intelligent, they go, you know, wait a second, you know, everything is connected. You know, this unified field is real. But, you know, there's this basic rule called karma. you know, that, I mean, how intelligent is that not to understand karma? You know,
I'd like to make a connection here, James. Uh-huh. That's kind of taking a little detour off the military to talk about something else that's happening that I think can totally balance out this military thing. I was reading a book. Have you come across the Anastasia series of books, The Ringing Cedars?
I have, but I haven't read it. I've heard about it.
Well, in book three, now this is a Russian author, an entrepreneur who basically went into the Siberian forest and encountered some people there who live in complete harmony with nature, mm-hmm. and gain all of their education and information through cosmic consciousness, turning within and finding the knowledge within. And what they can do is incredible, from, you know, intuitive skills, from telepathy to being telekinetic to seeing the past and the future. They're just very, very evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in the third book of this series, this author visits this school. And this is a school in Russia that's actually funded by the Russian state system, but it's more like a very unusual prototype type school where they have no teachers. And the kids actually have designed the campus of this school. They have done the architecture on some of the buildings themselves. And they have done, like, for an example of how they learn, or the quality and how quickly they learn, they did 10 years of the standard math curriculum that the normal school system would offer kids in a single year, not by working with teachers, but merely by working with guides, or they have a certain name for these people, who just ask questions of Hi?
Yeah, I guess we've got a caller here that wanted to ask you something.
Oh, okay.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
What's the best way to get in touch with my own my own spirit guide?
You want to take that, Angelica?
Sure. I'm sorry, that was really faint. Could you?
Are
you
saying what's the best way to get in touch with his own angelic guide?
Oh, good. Excellent question. The best thing I could recommend is sitting in a quiet space and really getting into a meditative state, just trying to quiet your mind as much as possible and really connecting with your sense of feeling, especially with your heart and a sense of well-being, a sense of peace. Because the way our guides and our angels communicate with us, they actually are communicating with us all the time, but we have so much chatter going on in our head that we never quiet ourselves down enough to hear that gentle, persistent whisper that's present so often. But when you take the time to go into a quiet place, and it's even better if you can be out in nature, but even just the quiet of your own home and settling down your mind and really finding a peaceful place within, then you start to open yourself up to hear that communication. And sometimes it comes, sometimes you hear it as if somebody is speaking to you. And sometimes you get images. And other times you'll just get a sense of well-being and an inspiration of what you need to do next that will somehow positively affect your life. You know, it comes in many forms. But really it's that simple.
And James, question for you. What about the West Coast? Is the West Coast going to get hit with an earthquake or not?
The West Coast? I think that's a pretty given. You know, it's definitely moving. There's actually one of the things that people need to really look at is that there's an active volcano off of Coos Bay right now, and they're having multiple quakes there. So I would really keep an eye on that area right there. They just had a small tsunami there not too long ago, and they had a tsunami warning. So I would definitely keep an eye on that area. Anything else? I guess we're back on.
All right. Well, I just wanted to finish up and tell you, the school in Russia, mm-hmm. James, the kids are taught how to turn within themselves and to find the answers, whether it be to mathematical questions, scientific questions, any topic at all. They are being taught right now how to turn within. Mm-hmm. So they're not only, you know, like becoming master intuitives, but they are able to trust themselves and fully blossom with the abilities that mankind, that all men and women are born with. Mm-hmm. And these kids are going to come up and they're going to be, you know, the next set of leaders. And they have, let's see, a couple of years ago, they had 300 of these kids in this school.
I want to go to that school.
I want to arrange for our conference in 2008 to get a couple of these kids to talk and tell us how to set up prototype schools like that here.
Oh, that'd be awesome. You know, we do a lot of sweat lodges here, and we have a lot of elders come. And during the lodges, a lot of times the parents will come and they'll bring their kids to these lodges. And, you know, when you pass the talking stick around, everybody's equal. Doesn't matter, male, female, age, it all goes out the door. Everybody's completely equal. And, you know, the parents are embarrassed when they walk out of the lodge when they allow their kids to speak. And some of the things coming through these children now, we need to really start listening to.
Oh, yes, there is so much wisdom there. But, you know, I think, James, that it's actually, the wisdom has always been there in the young, but we treat them like they don't know. We
exactly.
do not respect our children, and we've done that in our civilization for eons of not respecting the young. And they're, I mean, you know, especially when they're really young, that connection with Source is so fresh, and it's not yet squashed down and pulled apart like our society does by desensitizing the kids the way it does. And telling kids, don't trust yourself. We have your answers. You don't have the answers inside.
It is sad. I've noticed over and over, people go, well, it's not that simple. And I said, well, you know, it's what's so hard to understand about living in harmony with each other and the planet? You're saying it's not that simple. I said, it really is. You're just telling me that you're making other choices. And, you know, you have different motives and intentions. But it really is that simple. And a lot of people get pretty upset, you know, with that, because I just say, you know, bottom line, you're making a choice not to live in harmony with each other and nature, and that's a choice that you're making, but don't complicate it any more than it is.
Well, I think that's just a symptom of our society, that we overcomplicate everything, mm-hmm. and so we never get to that bottom line, and often people don't give or do things because they feel helpless. And we have to bring it to that bottom line and empower individuals all across the board and say, just your positive thoughts, you know, just putting your hands in the earth with love, just doing these simple things of an act of kindness for your neighbors, it all adds up.
You know, it's so amazing when people come here to the vortex that we have going on here, and they spend just a day or two here, and a lot of times people ask me, what's the most powerful teaching that you have here? And I hand them a shovel.
Good
or I tell
for
them
you.
To go weed the garden. And it's amazing, you know, there's an old saying, weed the garden, weed your mind. And when you're here working in this energy, you get this download of information constantly. And you're getting insights and releasing and letting go. But you got to give your conscious mind something to do. And so mundane jobs sometimes, it's amazing what that does out in nature to help people get, you know, back in sync, you might say, with their soul.
Well, I've think you get to start feeling your body again. You go out in nature and, you know, oftentimes when we sit in an office for 8 or 9 hours a day and, you know, we're in these concrete buildings and we're in our cars in traffic for hours, you know, it's just, you don't even want to be in your body. You know, the aches and pains, the, you know, just you're inundated with unpleasant sounds. And so, but when you go back in nature, you can just quiet yourself and let go.
Yeah, they say, there's an old Native American saying, they say, take man out of nature and you harden his heart. And it is so true. So
we have our military industrialized complex, and it's all about building, building, building more of these things that have no regard whatsoever for nature. Mm-hmm. And that is so out of balance, you know, but fortunately more and more people, scientists, are coming forward and saying even we see that this is not going to work.
Oh, no. It never does work. You know, you can't, like even as Einstein said, you can't prepare for war and peace at the same time. So, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, here on the Big Island, there is a big conflict going on because the military wants to place a striker brigade here on the island, right between our two beautiful mountains. But for the native Hawaiian people, these two mountains, Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa, represent the divine feminine and masculine centers on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
They're the two highest mountains on the planet, if you measure them from the bottom of the sea floor where they rise up from.
Mm-hmm.
Two highest mountains on the planet. The military wants to put a striker brigade right between the two mountains and start doing their war games and practices. And the Native Hawaiian people are going, are you crazy? Do you know what you're doing to this sacred power center?
Oh, yeah. I think they do. I think they do know what they're doing. It's a matter of trying to, you know, knock the grid down and the frequency.
But well, that's right.
Yeah.
I think they do know what they're doing too. And people, all the more reason why people have to speak up.
Exactly. It's, you know, even with the whales, you know, and the ELF waves are using the low frequencies, you know, what they're doing out there, that is just an atrocity, you know, what they're doing to the whales and the dolphins and everything with the sonar testing.
Well, here's another thing going on in the Hawaiian Islands. The NOAA people, the NOAA agency, the National Oceanic, I think, Atmospheric Agency, now they have a sub-agency with Marine Fisheries that are looking now to regulate swimming with the dolphins.
Wow.
The very same agency now granted the go-ahead to the military to deploy those sonars, which completely devastate the cetacean and mammal communities. And now they're saying, okay, there are not as many dolphins coming along the Hawaiian shores as there were even 15 years ago. The pods are decreasing. Why is that? They're not looking at the fishing net situation where, I mean, just the dolphin population has been decimated over the years by just the nets that have been used in commercial fishing. But also, you know, we just had for several months all of these different warships out in the Hawaiian Islands doing war games. And they're saying, oh, it's because of people swimming with the dolphins. But you see, we actually see the dolphins around the areas where there are ET ships, and there have been so many reports of even dolphins being aboard craft of these benevolent ETs. And so the military is down there looking for the craft, using these sonars that they're deploying to look for these crafts, and you know, it's really becoming clear to us that they just don't want people in the water.
Oh, yeah.
If we're in the water, they can't use those sonars because they would kill us, too.
Oh, yeah. They have they always have some, I don't know, it's always a reversal. Almost every agency, you might as well just reverse what it was set out to do, and you have a clearer picture. You know, like the Department of Defense should be the Department of Offense, you know, because we're really offending everybody in the world right now, and everything is offensive. You know, nobody's attacking us here. You know, people go, well, what about 911? Well, you know, the evidence is pretty clear that wasn't even an attack from some outside source, but we won't go there. That's another story.
That's another huge topic
in itself. But, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, I've just seen that over and over and over. You know, the EPA, you know, what are they doing? I've noticed that, you know, you call the EPA and you go, what about all these chemtrails and all this, you know, stuff going on? And it's not happening. They won't even go out and measure, you know. And they did start to measure it, and then they lost all their funding and they got kicked out, you know. So when they started, like, measuring the, you know, what was in the air and things like that, then they started losing all their funding. And the ones that just sit in there and shut up and don't cause waves, you know, are the ones that are still in there. It looks like we have another caller. Let's see if we can, are we there? We have another caller?
Yes, this is Troy.
Yes.
Yes, I have a kind of a question. Ever since I was young, I'm 41 now, I've been contacting UFOs and showing people, telling them, you know, flash your lights, do stuff. And then they have been trying to send me messages and get me flowing in a direction. I feel like some kind of major shift is going on where more and more people are starting to open up to the whole idea. And I also started looking at some of your stuff on the internet, and I couldn't believe that you're doing some of the similar stuff that I've been doing since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any suggestions? Because I kind of don't. All I know is I see them all the time. Of course, you probably know what I mean. People think I'm crazy or something, but I'm not sure if they're grays or what they are. I haven't had any. I call it an abduction because people understand it, but I had a situation where I used to live in the woods for about 3 years in Sedona, Arizona, and some gray type entities came to me. They didn't do anything to me. They were just there, and they said that they would leave until I was scared. You know, I didn't want to look at them. And they said, well, we'll come back another time when you're not so scared. And I was like, yeah, I'll leave, you know. But ever since then, I mean, I'm glad to show. I showed my dad one night. You know, I tell him flash three times, and they'll flash three times. And so he was pretty amazed. You know, I mean, what's going on?
Well, Angelica, you want
to
cover that?
I feel alone in the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, we'll have Angelica cover that because she's our guest, and we'll see what...
Okay.
Are you there, Angelica?
Yeah. I you know what? I'm sorry. I just had to move here because somebody was turning up a radio right near the window there.
Oh, okay.
So I just kind of lost the last part of that strand.
Right. I guess what's happening is he's been having contacts for quite a while, and he's been interacting with the ships, and they've been flashing back. You know, he'll say, yeah, okay, flash three times, and they'll do it. And I guess in Sedona, when he was there, he actually contacted or had a contact with some grays, and there was a little fear there, so they said, we'll come back and talk to you later, you know. But I said he just wanted us to comment on that if we had, you know, any advice or...
Well, okay, yes, absolutely. The more that you can exercise out of yourself that fear, I mean, really sit down with yourself and look at what the root of that is, where that comes from. It's so important for people, especially who are already having levels of contact experiences and are ready to move to that next plane with it, that they really get themselves to a place where they are at peace with themselves and at peace with understanding what they are going to now, you know, co-create or attract into their lives. And the more you can self-examine yourself or come to a place of that you feel that you have a sense of strength regarding what's to happen, that you feel empowered, that there is a real heart connection there, that you feel that being that you're interacting with, that you can actually feel them, and you can feel that it's positive and respectful and loving back, then that'll help you, too, to take that next step in the interaction.
One thing I've always tried to do is I tried to always have somebody with me or a witness or something, but I'm finding that maybe I should do this alone.
Well, you know, that really, whether you have someone with you or not, that, I mean, practically speaking, that might feel good to you at the beginning of helping you to take that next step, but you still have to do the inner work yourself to bring yourself to a place of peace, because the benevolent ETs won't force anything upon you. If you're scared, if you are just feeling overwhelmed by the experience, they'll back off and they'll wait years and years and years and years until you're ready, or, you know, if you're not, you're not.
Right.
So if you want to move this forward because it feels like the right thing, it feels positive and nourishing to you, then you have to exercise that fear within yourself and find your personal empowerment.
I don't know. What do you think? I don't know if they're giving me messages or if I'm just doing it myself. That I was thinking about buying a high definition camera and filming them to show people, or I just don't know. I think some kind of weird shift is going on with the planet. I mean, obviously something's going on.
We're definitely going through high strangeness right now.
Something big is going to happen.
Yeah.
Me.
Do you think that's what they're telling you? Intuitively, that's probably the message you're getting, that, you know, hang on, there's some very big events getting ready to unfold.
Okay, well, I guess I'll just try to overcome my fear. This was 20 years ago or less than 17 years ago when they came to me. It was kind of scary, but they really didn't do anything, so I just got to get over that fear.
Yeah, I just say, look, you know, this is a no probe zone. You know, we're not going to go there. And if you have something to tell me that's beneficial for humanity and the Earth, then let's talk. Otherwise, you know, hit the road.
I kind of like to be of service, if that's an okay thing to do, but I just don't know.
I think you have to trust your own inner sensitivity, your own inner guidance.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't feel right, if just something is doesn't feel on the up and up, then you know, go within and clear that within yourself. But don't give up your own discernment, because you do need to keep your discernment.
I kind of like to go up there to your ranch and check out the ETs up there.
Yeah, a lot of people have. I mean, we've had like 4,000 witnesses now or so. I quit documenting it.
How do I go about going up there? I mean, is there a scheduled time, or
just go to the website eSETI.org.
Okay.
And there's a phone number in there, contact information.
Okay.
And we're not really open yet because we're still kind of digging out of the snow, and there's just wall to wall ice here right now. But that should be gone in probably another week and a half or 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know what that's like. I'm in Colorado Springs. It's like too.
You guys are getting hammered there.
Besides, I wouldn't want to go outside until it warms up anyway.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good night.
Well, we're coming up to the top of the hour here. You know, we really need to give your websites out and contact information for you, Angelica.
Oh, that would be great. Well, I'd love to mention our conference that we're doing on the Big Island. In May, the second weekend of May, the 11th through the 13th, we're having a 3-day conference entitled Earth Transformation, New Science and Technology, Spirituality, Dolphins, and Exopolitics. And we're going to have 15 guest speakers and doing some film premieres, and it's going to be a heck of an event. Last year when we had our conference, people were taking pictures of the ships across the shores, you know, afterward. The energies here on the islands are something very special, very sacred. And so these events really, really dive into those accelerated thoughts in the best of ways.
Yeah, we had some come in, right? I mean, when I was there, I remember that they asked me when the conference, they said, when do you see them coming in? And I said, 11 o'clock. And then there were some ladies afterwards that came up to me and they said, right at 11, they said they saw a beautiful transparent ship with blue lights around it that flew right over the hotel. I think wasn't the ocean side, it was on the other side.
I remember that, James. I remember that. That was exciting.
Yeah, they came
because
right on cue.
There was a buzz going around talking about that.
Mm-hmm. And we saw a lot of bluish light just flashing on and off in the sky from about 10:30 on, but we didn't really see craft, but we saw, you know, the blue lights moving around. You couldn't really distinguish, you know, what they were. We kind of know intuitively what they are, but you know, but luckily this one came in and flew right over the hotel.
Well, we have, we're gonna get a lot more of that activity this year. We're already seeing so much right now, and it's just gonna escalate. So the website is earthtransformation.com,
mm-hmm.
And we're running some early bird specials now. So take a look. And the other website is galacticdiplomacy.com that lists some of my work and the seminars that I do, taking people to swim with dolphins and develop telepathic abilities and lots more good stuff.
So if I come back there, you're not going to take me out to swim in the barracudas again, are we?
This time we'll see if we can't get some of our shark family friends.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed that. You know, it was like I swam right up to the thing with no fear. Oh, look at the pretty dolphin. I was like, oh, boy, that dolphin's got some big teeth.
Yeah, he had that predator energy just coming right off of him.
Yeah, I said, you know, that's not a smiley face. You know?
But, you know, when we go out there, it's just like we have this bubble of protection around us because we're in so much joy being with the dolphins. We've just never, ever had, you know, a problem or an encounter of something that in any way harmed anyone.
You know, I saw a shark there, too, and you know, the dolphins came, you know, which was nice. I wish I went the second time when the whales showed up, but... you know, oh well, you know.
You'll get that next time you come.
Yeah. But anyway, it was an awesome, just the energy and being out in the water. And then when that big energy bubble went up underneath us and we're swimming.
It was just like the abyss.
Amazing. It just shifted everybody's energy. Some people got sick. They couldn't handle it. It kind of made them nauseated a little bit because it was such a powerful shift of energy that went on.
Well, that happens, actually, that happens now and again when we take people out to swim with the dolphins and the ships are present, that some people will get sick and they'll like be in the water, which is not the time that you start to get sick.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think of seasickness on the boat.
Oh, yeah.
But we can have lake calm waters and then people get in the water and then the ship will come with the dolphins sometimes underneath and people start, sometimes throwing up or just not.
But, you know, they feel great afterwards. They know it was part of their own cleansing and letting go each time. But
nobody complains about it afterwards. It's true.
Well, we're hitting the top of the hour now, so we've got to sign off. I'll definitely have to have you back on the show again soon, you know, before the conference.
Oh, well, what a pleasure to get to talk with you, and it's just good hearing your voice again, James.
Oh, you too. Well, we'll definitely have to connect up again soon.
I look forward to it.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Real pleasure.
And this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening, and watch the skies. They're here. Good night.
Aloha.